Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It's about the time of week where we do an interview. And joining us now, he's got his new album, Crash Talk, about to drop. And he's looking crazy LA as it is 60 degrees outside. And he got the hat on with ear flaps and pom-poms and like stuff sewed on top of a schoolboy Q. What's going on?
What up? How you doing?
Like, I've lived here long enough now that I can officially say, dog, it ain't that cold.
Nah, it ain't, but I mean, it's kind of fresh, though. I feel fresh, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? I packed it, and I was like, man, you know what? I'm going out with it. You know what I mean?
I like FUD hats. Stephen A. always jokes on me, because it'll be 50 degrees outside, and I got these Angry Bird hats that I wear, right? Oh, like, the ear flaps, but it's got the beak and all of that, and I'm too old for it, but whatever.
So what?
He's like, is it really that cold? Is it really that cold outside? He had stopped. Like, if he was in town, he would have kicked in the door. It would been like, God, what are you doing with this hat?
Oh, my God.
Man, I got to start with where everybody's starting, though, man. You saw that game last night?
Of course. Come on. Now, Dame, come on. Why are you doing like that?
That was crucial.
That was crazy. That might have been the craziest thing I've seen in a long time.
Well, like, the whole game was good, right? Because we're going to talk about the shot forever, but that whole second half was crazy. But, dude, he set him up for a 37-footer. It's not like he heaved it. He was like, this is the shot that I'm playing for.
Yeah, like, he knew as soon as he got the ball and he crossed, like, you know, he like, this is what's about to go down.
I can't imagine having that kind of confidence in anything.
Bruh, but the way he shot it, like, he shot it like he just knew, like, yep, told you. You know what I mean? I felt it. As soon as he left, I knew it was going in.
I'd have been so salty. I'd have been so salty.
Oh, my God.
If I'm anybody related to the Thunder, I'd have been... Like, y'all were going to win the series anyway, but it didn't have to be like this.
Bruh, off a 50-piece?
Off a 50. I forgot about that part. Somehow, like...
50-piece. He had, like, 32, right?
Yeah, somehow he had, like, 35 in the first half, and I didn't notice. Yeah. Right? Like, I was just watching the game. I did... Because I was like, I got to get to the end of this game. Yeah. So I did take a little nap during the second quarter. Not the whole second quarter, right? But just enough to make sure I could power through to the end. And apparently I missed the Dame Lillard show in that time.
He was going crazy. I mean, but it was still kind of silent, though. It was still just like regular because the game was just so good. You wasn't even tripping off that he had 30 points.
Right.
You know what I mean? The game was just crazy.
I want good things for my guy Russ, though.
Yeah, man. I definitely don't like the Russ slander, though. Like, I think Russ is really one of the great, great, greats. And, I mean, he just, you know, it's just not his time right now. But I think it will come, though.
Well, one thing I always say about him is I think I can love him the way that I do because I don't have a vested interest in the success of his team.
Yeah,
so when he's out here doing crazy Russ stuff, I'm like, hey, baby, that's just how he gets down,
man. Exactly. He from the city, too, so I kind of root for him, like, a little different.
Right.
You know, and Dame is from Oakland, which is still Cali, you know, so... I just root for anybody from Cali just a little bit different, you know? James Harden, like, I love him. All of them, like, everybody from the city.
Cali's interesting because I'm from Texas. I'm from Houston. Yeah. I don't root for nobody from Dallas.
We don't have that
kind of relationship. I think that's just because Oakland is, I love Oakland. Oakland is like the Island of Misfit Toys where every weirdo of every type comes together to be the weirdos that they want to be and talk crazy and you don't understand a word they say. It don't matter.
Yeah,
it's cool.
The culture is so different out there. So different. So different.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about the album, right?
Album,
Crash Talk.
Man.
How you feeling about it?
Man, I'm loving it. I'm happy right now. I'm like really excited because I haven't dropped music in like 2.5 years, almost 3 years, man. So getting back to it and just being back on the scene and also being able to tour again, you know, go out there and have fun.
You still love it?
Yeah, I love it, bro. It's still like what I'm passionate about. Like even when I'm on my break of the 2.5 years, I'm in the studio those whole 2.5 years. So I'm never stopped. I mean, I'm to the masses because I'm not like on social media like that all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but I'm always working. I have never stopped working on music since like 2011. I've been in the studio every day.
Like I always wonder because, you know, the industry grinds a whole lot of people up, right? Like you can hear it in their music where you're like, oh man, it's killing his soul, right? Yeah. So I'm always interested in people who keep going at this but don't lose it in the process.
Yeah, I mean... You just got to stay down and stay focused, dog, because it's going to be obstacles that you got to climb over. It's supposed to go down. It's supposed to go up. You know, everything ain't supposed to go straight to the top. You're supposed to go through adversity. You know what I mean? Go through a lot of things and stand tall and just stay down, dude. Stay focused. Stay focused. And honestly, you gotta meet new people and listen to new music. You know, so many people, they get older and they don't want to listen to the newer generation. It's like, but bro, that's the newer generation. It's a lot of people that move to that, like, get out your ways and kind of, you know, adapt to what's going on.
Yeah, and like, I'm 38, so I, like, everybody new to me, right? Like, I listen to this young stuff, I'm like, this is not for me. I recognize that, and I'm cool with that. But I am tripped out by people who can't find anything dope out of what's new, though, because there's plenty of stuff that's dope. Yeah, it's just like, on the kick I don't really know that much about.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and to disrespect them and say that they're not talented, it's like, whoa, you got to chill there. These dudes is really serious about what they're doing, and you just sit there act like what they're doing is easy because it sounds easy, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's not.
I do miss the gangsters, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like, that,
yeah.
That is one thing I think about. I was like, we could use a few more gangsters out here.
Yeah, that era is probably, my era is probably the last of that. Just due to, I mean, it's, people, kids don't really go outside.
Right.
You know, kids are on tablets and stuff, so you can't, there's no more gangsters are really being made.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was like, are the gangsters not rapping? Or I hadn't really thought about that. Like, the like, role of social media and people being on their phones. Yeah. Logically speaking, that would then have an effect on, like, becoming a gangster.
And the parents were hiding it because it didn't got so bad. Parents started hiding the kids, and now you don't see kids outside playing no more because of that.
Yeah, that's like, a wild thing about it. Because I know, because L.A., like, the times I spent in L.A., that was one thing. People are just kind of generally outside because why not? It's L.A. Like, it's gorgeous and all of this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're not outside, for better or worse, there's a whole lot of trouble, I guess, you can avoid.
Yeah. Yeah, but you go into the world of Guppy, too, though.
Yeah.
So it's like a, man, how you get that balance?
No, it's around the corner. The world is always waiting.
Yeah.
So who'd you work with on the new project?
Man, I got Black on the album. I got Ty Dolla $ign. I got YG. I got 21 Savage. I got Lil Baby. I got Travis Scott. Kid Cudi. That's it.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
right. Just a couple of dudes.
Yeah, just a couple of dudes, man. Everybody I've messed with, man. You know what I mean? Like, I've been fans of them, like, forever, so. It was dope for me to get them out.
Yeah, what kind of vibe are you on for this one?
Man, I always have balance with my albums. You know, it's gonna be the fun records. It's gonna be the introspective records. It's gonna be the turn. You know, like the aggressive records. It's always gonna be that. It's just a different sound, a different element of it. You know, it's just a different horror film. That's how I call it. You know, it's films like Get Out, and there's films like Freddy. There's films like, you know, Halloween, and the films like what's the new one? Us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
So you say you've been in the studio, though, for like 2.5 years.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
How much of the early stuff makes it to a project like this?
Not a lot. That's just like, you know, spring training almost. Like, you know, if I could use it in sports terms. Like, yeah, it's like spring training. You in there warming up. Maybe one or two. Maybe.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you don't get into it until, like, me anyway. I got to be in there at least a year. And then I finally find the pocket, and I finally find the inspiration and the topics, you know, that I need to be on. Because when you in there, you're just fumbling around and just whatever comes to your mind. And then, boom, it just hits you, and then everything makes sense.
So in the last year, how many tracks do you think you recorded?
Man. For this album, I recorded over 300 songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Over 300 songs.
So how's it go when you have dudes in with you and you be like, yeah, thank you for contributing to one of our 300 songs, but unfortunately, this is not going to make the product that we sell.
I pretty much work with a lot of the same producers over and over again, so they pretty already know my process, pretty much know my process, and we all cool with it. I mean, it's not like the song is ever going to come out, so they can still shop the beat, and they're not really tripping on it. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, yeah, I already got two on the album. I ain't tripping. Number 100 ain't on there. You know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't tripping. They get to still shop the beat, do what they do, because I won't put it out.
And this is a good time to be making music in L.A., right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's a little weird right now, you know, with the passing of Nipsey. So it's been weird. You know, the air is still weird out there. It's just not right.
How would you describe it?
The city is still healing. Like, you know, he was big time out there in L.A., you know what I mean? I mean, probably not everywhere around the world like that, but, you know, everybody was affected by it. But people around the world are kind of, like, moving on right now, you know what I'm saying? And L.A. is still there, like, a little hurt. It's, like, memorials still going on, and people are still, any car you hear is bumping Nipsey, and Nipsey shirts and Nipsey signs everywhere, you know what I mean? Still. So it's, like, you can still feel it.
Yeah, like
in the area.
Like I was late. Like I did not realize. Like I actually somehow wound up in his box at the All-Star game last year. Yeah. Like a friend of a friend, and I met him real quick. But I didn't get like what was going on around it. Honestly, until he died. You know, sometimes you just don't get around to listening to somebody. People keep telling you.
That's cool.
And then when I got on the marathon, I was like, oh, okay, I understand exactly. Because it was like it's aspirational, right? Like this was some for real. I made it, and I'm trying to get people with me, music, and then there was a life associated with it. It's almost like. Best case scenario, Tupac. Like we always say, like, well, what if Tupac had lived? Tupac was like 25 when he died, right?
Yeah, like you're 26.
Like, what if he lived to be 33 years old? And this is what you would hope it would be.
Yeah, exactly. But and I think Nipsey passing was more affected LA more than Tupac.
I can see it. I mean, because also he's like from LA, right?
Yeah,
like he's
exactly.
of it.
But you know, but Pac was just like a adopted LA person, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody loved him because he was always there. And you could see him. Like, you could see him at the store. Like, you know, Pac wasn't hiding.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so people felt that when Pac died. But Nipsey, it's like, ooh, like everybody, like the whole city was just quiet, it felt like.
Yeah.
For a couple weeks.
Well, like, how nervous was it around immediately after when, like, before people knew who had done it or what had happened? Because it seemed like all my people from L.A. were like, oh, boy, this is going to be a long summer.
I think people knew right away, you know, but people don't, you know, where we come from, we don't do police work. So, you know, it just does. It's just going to do what it does, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, people knew what was going on from the jump.
What was your relationship with him?
We were cool. I mean, we wasn't like best friends, but I mean, we both from L.A. and we peers. You know, so we both made it from a place, you know, a similar place. But yeah, we were cool, but we wasn't like kicking it or nothing like that. But we was super, super cool.
I saw you said something interesting about like tribute records and stuff like that. Where you was like, you do not grieve publicly. Like this is not a show. And I thought that was really interesting because I do kind of find sometimes myself, like in the social media era, like you have to say these things in public, right? It's like everybody's got to put out a press release.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that person can see you, you ain't got to do it on Twitter, you know, like there's other ways that you can go about this. So I wonder what it's like, you know, for people who actually know a person and then kind of get caught in for what a lot of people, they mean well, but it's still kind of a show.
Yeah, it is definitely a show. It's you making it about you, you know, you putting it on a platform where, you know, or you can get like, you know, getting likes and I deal with metaphors for a living. So like, I just don't like posting a picture of somebody that's been murdered and people liking the picture. It's just like, I don't know, like metaphorically, that just doesn't seem like something like, you know what I'm saying?
It
just
doesn't exactly
seem
what you
cool.
Mean.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just not with that. Like, it's not real life. You know, it's not for real. This, you're just trying to benefit it.
But there's another thing that happened right after that was similar. It's like, I think you see the connection when the Notre Dame Cathedral burned down in Paris and then everybody put up their pictures of the time they went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So it was basically like stunting that you went to Paris
over
and over and over again on the internet. I'm like, man, this ain't got nothing to do with the, with the church.
Exactly. See, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what's going on, even with death. Like, why are you like posting like a picture of yourself at the cathedral? Like, okay, you was at the cathedral, but it's just like, what'd you get? Like, what are you getting from this? Like,
right.
Like, this place is burnt down, dude. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Nah, man, the stunt is perpetual. And I also feel like everybody knows what all the right answers are now, right? Like, so people kind of traffic in those spaces and you know what you're supposed to say. Like, there's no room really for like even a little small deviation from what it is that you are supposed to say. Like, if, I can't, like, I guess when Nipsey died, of course, we all know what the right thing is to say when somebody died. Either be nice or shut up, right? But then everybody, but you can't differentiate yourself by shutting up.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to go hard on, I was the most affected person by what has transpired here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sick, man. It's really a mental illness, I feel like. Social media have made a lot of people mentally ill.
I got questions.
Schizophrenic.
Yeah, I got, like, myself personally, like, I look at it more and more, and I'm like, yo, this is not, I can say there was a time where it contributed to my happiness, and I can say that there's something cool about the ability to connect with a bunch of people and all that stuff, but, like, the more I look at it now, I'm like, yo, I don't feel like this is doing anything good for any of us.
None. It's making us narcissistic, too, like.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I've come to hate Instagram.
Like, it's really becoming that, like, some, like, it's to the point, like. people are weird. Like, people won't like your picture or something until you like their picture. Or
yes.
Like, do weird things like
that. That all kinds like of stuff.
Weird stuff, man.
But I also think, and I want, like, so we have all this reality television and everything else. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it. Like, your Instagram story, if you want it to be, is your reality television show.
Yeah, that's exactly
like you,
what
everybody
it is.
Can be the star of their own television show and however it is that they want to play. And I get to go and I'm like, yo, this is making me dislike the people I know.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's just like, you know, when somebody's doing something, it's like you got this certain voice on and you're doing like this thing. Always got to have something in the background that look nice or look cool. It's just like, come on, man. Yeah. And then you got the filters now. It's just like, people are not their self no more. You're learning, you just constantly crawling away from your true self more and more with the social media.
Well, you said you're not really on social media like that. Like, does the label or anybody associated with that try to get you on more for the business purposes?
Nah. But I do the story part because it's like right then and there. But like posting pictures and stuff is like, I really don't, you know.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like promoting some album dropping this day or song this day or I did this or that. You know what I mean? I'm not really, you know, not on it. I just do the story because it's just so quick and it's real life almost, because you can like whatever you're trying to do or get your point across of, you can do it right then and there and it's like boom. And you don't even have to feed into the other part of it and deal with what people got to say or critique or this, that, when you were just trying to tell them, go down the street right quick. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Somebody got something to say for everything.
In terms of making music,
yeah.
Do you look at it as like any real larger purpose, or is it just you doing something that you enjoy and riding with it where it goes?
It's both. Because like, you'll make music and then you'll go to like, you know, when you first starting off, it's just like the art. You just like doing it. Then you get fans. And then you talk to fans. And then you see how you affect fans. And then you got some fans that's like super hardcore that, you know, like artists, we save like a lot of people lives. Like a lot of people I done met that was like, oh, I tried to kill myself or thought about committing suicide and they heard a song that I made or something. Like I hear that every tour, at least like over 100 times from some kids. Like, you know what I mean? Like young kids too. So then your purpose becomes that, like, there'd be times where you just want to give up. There's been mad times where I was just like, I'm going to chill for a while. But then I'd be like, nah, I can't, because how could I like walk away from that dude that just told me this? And then that dude that told you, like, I'm really out here saving lives. So it's like you become a healer at a certain point.
Does it ever feel like pressure?
Heck yes. Yeah, the most pressure, like making, I was telling my boy too, like success and making $1 million is could be some of the worst things for people. And the pressure is like, you don't know what pressure is till you become successful. You know what I mean? You really don't know what pressure is until you sitting in front of the judge that's about to throw the book at you, or you became successful. You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's a lot of pressure.
Did you have like a certain moment with success where you realized that it was more than you, like something you could point to, like, oh, okay, this is when I was like, oh, there's another side to this that I didn't think was coming.
Yeah, the depression that comes with it, because it's just like, you just go through so many emotions, bro, you just can't control, you know what I mean? And then, like I said, you get built up to this guy, and you like, everybody just always praising you, and everybody doing all this stuff for you. You almost go narcissistic for like a hot minute. You lose track of everything. Everything gotta be about you, everything, cause it's always about you. And your mental get messed up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And when you ain't touring or something, you still thinking it's all about you, and you just at Target, bro. Let nobody care, like, you know what I mean? It'll mess up your mental though, like seriously. Like, and I notice myself now. Once I got famous, I stopped walking and looking up. I get the anxiety of people approaching me and like having their phones out. All I would do for like 3 years, I would just have my hood on and I just walk down and act like I'm on my phone all day to like get to a certain destination, because I didn't want to be, well, I didn't care to be bothered. Like, I would take pictures, I'm cool with that, but it's just the point of talking to me first, like,
yes,
it's just like weird, like, but I'm not, no problem, like, once we talk, but just approaching me and like, I don't know, like being famous was just weird.
And I imagine it was cool at first, right?
You like, oh, bro, it's like mad people messing with you. And then next thing you know, it just become cool. And then you start enjoying it. Like, yeah, take a picture. Oh, whatever, bro. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a little too much because now everywhere you go, it's like, at first it was just you go to the mall and maybe five people recognize you, then 10. And then now it's like you go and then everybody just does this.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And even if they're not a fan, they still know who you are when you become all it takes is one hit record. You know what right. I mean? People don't even know who you are. They don't have to be a fan. But everybody does this. I mean, I still do it when I see a celebrity, and I'm a celebrity. It's just something you do.
Right.
You think you recognize somebody, and that's just what you do.
And the worst is when you think you know who it is, but you're not sure. And
Yeah.
People like, yo, man, what dude is that? I know I've seen him somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know, like, the progression for a lot of people is, like, when you start doing something, it's small and it's intimate. And, like, the people you come across, you know them. They, you know, like, they know you. Like, it's just a whole different thing. Then when something gets big and then it blows, now you are just, like, a celebrity or a famous person. It gets to be a lot less about, yo, this really particular thing about you.
Yeah.
And then you're just the person to get looked at.
Yeah, pretty much. That's really what it is. I'm pretty sure you even go through it. Like, you know, I mean, you on TV, like,
yo,
all the time. A lot more viewers than I get every day.
I actually, something cool happened to me this morning. She probably listened. I sat down on the train because I take the subway in, right? And don't nobody really mess with you on the subway because don't nobody want to be on the subway, man. Right? I'm convinced the most famous person in the world can sit on the subway.
Anyway,
this is subway. And so this woman taps me on the shoulder and then I look over and she showed me her phone and she was listening to the podcast, like, at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, that actually, like, touches my heart, right? Because I don't know who actually listens to this stuff.
Yeah.
And so we talked all the way, you know, till she got to her stop and then went on about my business. Like, when that kind of stuff happens, it's cool. I have people who take a picture of me on the street and be like, I was scared to talk to you, and then send me the picture on Instagram.
I have to reply
and be like, hey, man, that's creepy.
Yeah. It's weird, right?
Yeah, because I imagine you get to those places where you're like, hey, it's all about you. But at the same time, like, you're the person that you were before. Like, it's crazy the idea that people are doing this, right?
Yeah. It's super crazy. But, you know, but that's another thing, too. Like, that's what we signed up for.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. It's like some people are really a little same way I get anxiety. They get anxiety, too, when they see you. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what to do. And they, most of the time, they do something really weird. You have a flash go off and try to put their phone. Like, bro, I already saw the first flash. Then it's just flashing in their pocket. Like, bro.
I tell you this, though. It made me check myself on a lot of stuff, though, because I realized, you're doing all the things that I used to do. Like, I had to stop, like, randomly taking pictures of people. Like, weird stuff I saw when I was out. Because now, man, these people seeing it. I did that once. I took a picture of a dude at breakfast. He was dressed ridiculously. And I sent it at the table. And he was in the restaurant. And he followed me. And he saw it. And, man, he was so hurt. He been hurt for years. Like, he's still mad. God. But I had to stop and think about it. I was like, yo, man, I clowned that dude on the internet. He ain't do nothing to deserve that. He don't know me. But my thinking was.
You put it on the whole platform.
Yeah, and I was like, nobody's seeing this. This is just me and my friends talking. No, it ain't you and your friends no more. Like, you are property of the community in some ways.
For sure.
All right, man. Switch gears with you a little bit. Just so you played football, right?
Yeah, football and baseball. Yeah. So I was really, really good at baseball.
Really?
Yeah, I was good at football too, but my love was football, but I was recruited for baseball, but I wasn't trying to really play baseball.
Really?
Yeah, so I went to junior college to play football, and then I went to jail, and it was over.
Yeah, I can see how that could have an effect on the on the career trajectory.
Yeah, it was over after that. I was bullshit anyway. I was just going with just straight raw talent. I didn't work hard. I didn't, you know, I was just like, you know, I go to the gym, hit the weights, you know, and go to practice or whatever. But I didn't work hard, though.
So is this just something for you, just something to do?
What, football?
Yeah.
No, but the thing was, I loved it, but I just didn't, I bullshit it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved it.
Then
like,
you didn't get it.
Yeah, but I just didn't, you know, I didn't put the extra work in that I needed to succeed the way I should have succeeded. So, baseball, I was just always good at, you know what I mean? Like, baseball is one of those things where you can kind of slip through the crack up until it's time to get drafted and you play with the big boys.
Right.
But like high school and stuff, I was like crazy good. Like, I had like a 300 batting average my whole, my 4-year career in baseball.
And at that time, like, Black LA was still playing a lot of baseball, right?
Yeah, yeah, still a lot. Now it's done now. It's done. It's like, you probably can't even feel a varsity team. I mean, like a JV team. It's probably just varsity. No JV.
Man, you can get some bread in baseball if you can get there, though, boy.
Yeah, you can get it. It's a lot of work, though.
Yeah.
Unless you just, like, you know, Mike Trout or one of them type of dudes, you know.
But they don't hit you in the head. Like, that's my whole thing in football. It's like, yo, man, the dudes be hitting you.
Yeah, yeah. But, man, it's something about football, bro, being with your brothers and, like, just that vibe is just different, bro. It's just, like, the energy, the before a game, after a game, in practice, the laughs, like, you just have a different type of freedom when you're on a football field and at football practice and playing football. Because think about it, like, baseball is a real quiet sport, humble sport. Mm-hmm. You know, people get mad you hit a home run and you celebrate. Like, people get mad, like, some silly. Like, in basketball, you inside of a gym. You know what I mean? Like, football is where you really out here, bro, and it's like, you with your dogs, like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all just big chilling, having fun, dude. It's a gang of y'all.
I wasn't in the right weight class. It was not. It was not in the cards for me. I played football in seventh grade.
Yeah, and it was over.
Oh man, you know, and I enjoyed it. Like, it was fun. And, like, seventh grade football, if you're smart, you can figure out everything that's going. They like, yeah, Tecmo Bowl. They run it 4 plays, right? Yeah. Man, this dude called me by the face mask one time and turned me parallel to the ground, and I hit the ground. I got up. I was cool, but I recognized this wasn't my future, man. This was not going to be the end result for me. I just had to find a gang of dudes somewhere else doing something different.
Yeah, nah, man. I never really got hurt until, like, practice. I never really got hurt football.
Yeah. Now, how's JUCO football? Because JUCO football is a hell of a world, too, with lots of characters, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah, bro. It's competitive. It's a lot of, like, JUCO is where it's at. It's, like, really, like, some of the best players that could be starting at a D1. It's, like, you know, kids that, like, most of them are kids that messed up. Or couldn't pass the test or something, but he's a world-class athlete, and it's up to you, you know what I mean? Because you still got to do the schoolwork. So once you get the JUCO, it's just like a second chance, you know what I mean, to get it. And some people could leave in one. I haven't seen that before. Go to JUCO for 1 year and dip.
Right.
Go to JUCO 2 years, dip, and still be successful. Look at Cam Newton, you know? It happens. Some people take it serious, and some people just waste their talent and just slip through the cracks. But JUCO is crazy. It's really competitive, and it's 100 kids out there trying to be on the team every year. Yeah. You got the kids that's older. You got to think it's the kids that sat out a couple years that's like 20 trying to play, and it's all the kids straight from high school trying to play. So it's mad people out there trying to get it still. So you really have to step it up.
I know. I imagine for a whole lot of people that first week of JUCO football, there's a whole lot of people that's like, you know what?
Yeah.
This isn't really what I like playing high school football.
Yeah, for real. Cause you're playing against grown men now. Like, yeah. I said, there's some people that been hurt or took 2 years off and they like 20, 21 and you like 18. That's a grown man low key. Like,
yeah, well, I used to say, like, when I was looking for teaching jobs, I was like, I'd be down to teach at a JUCO or community college because everybody there got a purpose. Yeah. Like, you got these kids and you know, at your standard university or college, you know, my parents said I got to go to school, but if you paying your money to go to JUCO, yeah, like, you got a reason.
Yeah.
And there's some cats that I imagine come in there like, yeah, I just figured it'd be somewhere to play football. You realize, nah, man, this dude here has got something he's trying to get away from, yeah, and this is the ticket.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I was a little different though. I was on a football team, and once the football season was over, I was done. I wasn't going back to school. Like, we'll deal with eligibility later, dog. But jail happened, so I didn't even get eligible. It was over.
Yeah, I was like, what's that moment? You come like, all right, just been done playing football. What's coming next?
And then I went to jail, and I was just like, I just really lost everything. I just lost sight of everything. Like, I don't care. Like, so what? Like, I'm done with football. I'm done with any chance I thought I can just bounce back with baseball or any of that sport. Any sport, like, I'm cold.
Well, after you got out, how long did it take you to bounce back and, like, get back on the road?
I was on house arrest. That's when I actually started rapping. I was like, cause they let me out on house arrest. Cause I was being good or whatever. So they let me out on house arrest. And, I just started rapping. 50 was like, if you don't know what to do with your life, I saw a YouTube video, and he's like, if you don't know what to do with your life, and you a felon, you got a strike, start rapping, tell your story. You know, I was just like, all right, I'm gonna do that. And then I just happened to run into somebody named Kendrick Lamar and J-Rock and Abso, and we become like close friends, and they pretty much molded me into who I am now, you know, like just being with them, because I just started rapping. They've been rapping, you know. I just started rapping, and it kind of molded me to be who I am now.
Yeah, so how does that go? Would they just happen to hear you do something and just be like, yo, you may have something here?
I met them through my homeboy Ali. He was on the football team with me too, but he got hurt. He like had a slip disc or something. He played lineman, and you know, big dudes be having problems. So I remember too, practice, he just fell back, dude. And everybody came and got me because that was my boy. Mm-hmm. So I'm running over there to see him, you know. I'm with the receivers and stuff, and he's over there, you know, with the linemen. So I'm running over there to see what's going on. They like, it's serious, dude. Like, I think he broke his back. Like, and I'm over there, and he just like, he wasn't saying nothing. He just, you know, and then I went to the hospital, and he was like, I'm done with the football.
It's enough.
Yeah, you know, I'm done with football, dog. He was done or whatever. And, yeah, and he was a music engineer also. He was doing, like, he mixed records and stuff. That was his dream, too. So, like I said, I just started rapping. He was like, well, come over here. I just met these dudes, with me and Kendrick and J-Rock and Abso. And I went over there, and I just fit. I was, like, the last piece of the puzzle. And we just clicked, literally, since day one. And we've been, like, these, like, my best friends. They will all be in my wedding, like, you know, type thing.
And y'all kind of, like, I don't want to say brought the West back, because I feel like that's a little bit unfair, but like we're at a point now where the West in rap is more prominent than it's been really since like late 90s.
No, you can say we brought the West back. Yeah. I mean, but it's more people too, though. Like YG was a big part of it. Nipsey was a big part of it. But I would say TDE, YG, Nipsey, we like were the, I Future too. Tyler the Creator. People don't even associate him with realizing that he's from L.A.
Yeah.
He shifted the whole rap game, period. He made it cool to be weird. You know what I mean? Like, being yourself. Like, he's a weirdo. That's one of my good friends, too. Like, he's a weirdo, and it shows in his music, and he doesn't care what you think. You know, so Tyler also. So, yeah, I would say us five.
Yeah. Like, Pac is my dude right now.
Oh, Pac. Yeah, he's crazy. Come on, man. Pac is crazy.
Like, it's absurd. Like, he is crazy. One when he's on a roll where I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's very, very, very talented. That's my boy, too. Ugly as hell, but dressed horrible. But the music, though. Come on, man.
You see what he called? Genius. You see what he called this tour? I think it's something like the prettiest mouth in the game or something like that. It's the name of the tour.
Yeah, see, you know what I mean? Like, he's a weirdo. Like, express yourself, be yourself, you know what I mean? Like, what's wrong? I'm a weirdo. Like, I come in with hats like this, you know? Like,
hey, you're on Malibu. Malibu is, that's my joint. Like, I went through that one. I was like, okay, he was going to be on here. All right, cool.
Yeah,
no, this is a delightful weirdo. But yes, definitely a weirdo hanging out with the least weirdo person in the world, Dr. Dre.
For sure. Dre is a genius, man. One of the greatest of all times, dude, if not the greatest.
Have you worked with him?
Yeah, plenty of time. Dre's the reason I got my deal.
How's it go for you working with Dre, though? Because he's the ultimate perfectionist.
I mean, yeah, but Dre a dip. You know, he'll tell you what to do. All right, blah, blah, blah. Write something to this. You write to it. He come back like 40 minutes or whatever. Let me hear. And he one of them dudes. You would have sat there 40 minutes writing the song. If the first three lines not good, he cut it off. Oh, yeah, that's not. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, I just sat here 40 minutes. You didn't even listen to the rest of it. You just heard three lines, and you know what I mean? So he makes you have to be sharp. And it's Dr. Dre. Like, what you going to tell Dre? Oh, man, you should just listen to the rest. Like, nah, nigga, Dr. Dre, just do another verse. You know,
you're like, hear me out, dog. Hear me out.
Yeah, you don't do that. Not to Dre. You got to just be a student.
How'd you feel the first time that happened, though?
It was a little embarrassing. But it's because, you know, it's people in there, too. And it's like, and the first, I think the first verse or something I ever did, it was like, he just shut it off instantly. I'm like, damn, I blew it fast. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, and he was like, no, I'm not messing with that. Try it again. Like, try to come in a little more, you know, high pitch or, you know, we talking about women or something or make it about women, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, you know, do it again. do it again until he like messes with it, and boom, there you go.
I guess you had to realize too. Once you realize he does it to everybody.
Yeah. Once you. It's people in the studio or the engineer that he normally works with. Like, don't even trip, bro. That's what he do to everybody. Like, if he don't care who you are, be, you know, anybody. Jay-Z, first thing, like, nah, stop, nah. Let's do it different, you know. He's a different type of perfectionist for sure.
Yeah, man.
Frankenstein.
I was talking about Pac, because Pac's got the joint about Mac Miller on the last record. I know you were close to him also. And that's another one, like Nipsey, where I've been struck by, like, how genuine the responses people had to his death. So, like, what was he to you?
That was my little brother. Mac was my little bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that was my little dog, bro. That was heavy for me. I'm still dealing with, you know, so. It's hard for me to talk about it, you know, because that was like me and him were like close, like, you know, super close.
Is it weird to have people who don't know you know your friendships in that way?
Yeah. What's even weirder is just like, you know, when you are super friends with somebody and then you see people exploit your friends being dead. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's like you kind of get mad a little bit. But at the same time, it's like. They're kind of praising him right now. You don't want them to not praise him, too. It's a love-hate thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It's really, really weird. It's really weird. It's like, how could you be really mad that somebody's praising him right now? Even though you are mad because it's like, I know what you're doing. You explain the situation, and I'm really hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, you're getting the picture off.
Yeah, and I think some of it, I guess, the levels of fandom stuff, like we talk about the people like, hey, this person saved my life and stuff. But for some of them, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And it's the, like, the illusion that you know people that you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. For sure, for sure. Like, even when you just meet random people, they just talk to you. Or, like, when I meet some people sometimes, they just be like, hey, Quincy. And it's like, dude, don't call me Quincy. Like, you think, trying to act like you know me, but nobody calls me Quincy, not even my mama, so you shouldn't call me Quincy, because people that know me don't call me Quincy.
Yeah, like, that's a giveaway, right?
Like, yeah, like, once you say Quincy, it's like, oh, yeah, you don't know him. You trying to act like you. It's like, people have been calling me Q since, I don't even remember saying Quincy. I probably said Quincy probably 500 times my whole life. You get what I'm saying?
Like, right.
That's it, dude. Like, my teachers all call me Q.
I was like, Quincy's the I'm in trouble.
Yeah. My mom, like, my grandma, I'm not gonna lie, my grandma called me Quincy a lot. Yeah, but my mom, and everybody, nah. Quinn or Q. Yeah. Mm.
So where you want to go with all of this?
What, with music?
Yeah, just kind of generally, right? Because I think at some point, like, you get to what you dreamed of, and then there needs to be something else, you know?
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know. I just want to keep making music. That's all I know. I just want to keep dropping, just keep dropping slaps. I just like to, you know, I like the feeling when slaps is on. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't listen to my music that much, but in the while I'm making it, it's like crazy. You know, while I'm in the studio making it, but once it's like out, I don't really listen to it.
Like, do you have like the mogul dreams that a lot of people say they have about trying to run all of this?
Oh, run like a bunch of businesses and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, of course, but not like, I'm not tripping. I'm not like chasing $1 billion or nothing, but I definitely want to keep the same lifestyle I have.
Yeah.
Sure, you know? But,
the lifestyle is a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit of, not a trap, but a little bit of a trap.
Man, you can get it. It's hard to keep it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's easy to get it. That's nothing, but keeping it is, woo. And that's a lesson I learned from Drake too. He told me that too.
And nobody's trying to dial back.
Yep.
Like the car you drive right now.
Nope.
You're not trying to drive the car you drove before. No matter who you are.
I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to be sitting right in the car if the repo man ever came up on me. I'm sitting right in the car. You taking both of us.
Yeah, we all going.
Yeah. I ain't going back, dog. Hell no, I ain't going back, dog. I got to work, man. I'm going to work till I die. I don't have no plans on retiring. Never.
Everybody thinks they could go back until something happens, like a little small thing happens in life, and you're like, what's the best hotel we can get? Oh, the Hampton? I mean, okay, whoa, hey, I'm not doing this again.
Oh, man, yeah, not the Hampton. Not Holiday Inn. That's out, dog. I need to be able to call room service to bring me something cool, bro. Can't do that Hampton.
So you talk, you know, we talked about people, you know, just the kind of strangers coming up to you and stuff like that. So like, where is it that you can go and you're like, I ain't got to deal with none of that? Like, this
around,
is where I go, where I'm
house. I mean, I go play golf and I don't.
Oh, you play golf?
Yeah. I just got into golf, like last year. I'm okay too. I'm only playing a year, but.
What's the lowest score you shot?
82.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But, only did it twice, so don't even try. You know what I mean? Don't.
Nah, man, 82. I don't care if you play a putt-putt. 82 is noteworthy.
Yeah. Only twice, though. But, and that's a lot of golf. I golf every day. So. It's a lot of golf, dog, and only do it twice.
Who you play with?
I got a bunch of people. Me and Reggie play some time, too. Reggie Bush.
Mm-hmm.
My boy Dennis Haysbert.
You kicking it with the president?
Yeah. That's my boy. That's my dog. Me and George Lopez just played last week. But I mainly play with, like, my other homeboy. He was A&R Brock, one of my Asian partners who got me into it, June. He runs a company called Deadline. And my boy Marbon, he runs Marbon Golf. So, that's normally my little crew I run with.
You got to get on the Scarface golf list. I was talking to somebody about trying to play with Scarface.
I got to.
What they've said is he won't play with you if you're not good because he don't want you to slow him down. But it sounds like you can keep up.
Nah, I could probably keep up. How good is he?
I don't know. That's the thing. He just says he won't play with people that hold him up. But if you're shooting 82s, this can happen.
Yeah, I only did it twice. But, yeah.
How'd you meet up with, like, Dennis Haysbert? Like, how'd you make that connection?
We both at the same country club. I mean,
you're in the country club now.
Yeah. So it's like Calabasas Country Club. So it's like when you see a black person, first thing you do is what up, because there's not many of us out there.
Right.
So, you know, him being, famous and me being famous, we talked and it's like, oh, let's play. And he's like, yeah, let's play. And we just became homies. You know what I mean? Just like that.
Yeah. The golf course is like. I mean, you're just away from everything, right? Like,
yeah, it don't matter who it is, dude. It don't matter who you playing with, too. It's just like it brings you to people that you never thought you would be hanging with.
Yeah, and then I realized how people, shall we say, getting down on the golf course, and I was like, oh yeah, this is a little cooler than I realized it was.
Oh man, people. I mean, I ain't never seen a fight happen, but I mean, we definitely smoking and drinking nonstop out there. Having fun.
Yeah, I was about to say, so how'd it go with you joining the Calabasas Country Club? Because I imagine this is something that younger you never would have expected.
Man, never, dog. I never watched golf in my life. Only golfers I ever knew was Tiger Woods and, like, Arnold Palmer because of the drink. And,
right.
I think Phil Mickelson. I never even knew Jack Nicklaus. Jack, you know, I didn't know who he was. Like, you know. But, yeah, like, I didn't know nothing about no birdie or none of that stuff. Like, you know, I looked at it like it was born and it was easy. It's a stick, a ball, and you hit the stupid ball, and it goes. And like, and then you get out there and you try, and you're like, wait, this might be the hardest sport I ever played in my life.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And then you have to put some respect on it, because golf is the most humbling and hardest sport there is to play, and I love it, dog. It changed my whole perspective on it. Even the people that play, even people in general, it's like, you know, that person might not be so bad because, you know, we growing up in America, you almost have to grow up a little prejudiced. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
A tad bit. So, you like I said, it brings you together with people you never thought you would be with, and you on the course playing, and that adds to your real life too, because now you're not so prejudiced towards other situations or walking into a situation feeling weird.
Right.
Now, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. It changes you a little bit.
Now, I'm curious, like, was there an intake process like that? Like, I'm curious about, like, when you say I'm going to join this club, you can't just come in and walk in and write a check and be like, cool, now I'm a member, right?
Yeah.
Like, is there meetings? Are there people you got to talk to?
Yeah, you're supposed to do all that. But they kind of let me slide in, though.
You got to like that?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah. They let me slide in.
Listen, man, I think about Freddie playing golf. Because if we get you and Freddie Gibbs at the Calabasas Country Club.
Freddie Gibbs play golf too?
I need to find out. I can't remember, but this sounds like the greatest music video ever.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know if he's playing golf, man. I hope so. I need some rap friends that's playing golf, bro. I definitely got to play with Scarface, though.
Yeah, my boy's a comedian in L.A., James Davis. He's like a for real golfer. Like, okay. That's what he does. He grew up in South Central, somewhere over there. And that's he's a golfer. Y'all have fun. I need to connect you with him.
Okay, yeah. Connect me with him, man. I'm trying to play.
Because me and my brother, like my brother, he got me into it. He really plays. But I reached that point where it's like either I'm going to overtake golf and just fight through this challenge, or I'm just go out here and kick it. I just be kicking it. I just took a kick. I was getting mad.
Yeah, no, you will get it. That's what I'm saying. It tests your character, everything, dude. It's no joke, man. It's the hardest sport I ever played.
I went out one day with one of my buddies, and he was like, I just started playing golf, and I went out with him, and man, he was mad at every stroke and at every hole, and I was just like, look, we can't both be like this.
Nah,
right?
Yeah.
One of us has to be chilling, and then I decided I'm going to be the chilling golfer at all times, unless I'm playing like for real against somebody. Yeah.
Especially if you're good.
I can imagine.
And you have, because it's going to happen. You're going to have a bad day. The game is really hard. Hitting that little ball hundreds of yards is really hard. You're going to have really bad days. So you probably caught, you and your boy or brother was probably like, he probably was like, is he good?
Yeah, he's good. See, the problem with y'all that's good is that the things y'all are complaining about, I'm over here like, I would love that.
It'd be
insulting to what I'm trying to do. You're like, oh, man, that's a terrible shot. I'm like, do you see where I am?
Yeah.
Look at where you are, right? Can you have some kind of perspective on, you know, what this is? It's like when rich people start complaining about their bills, right? Like, come on, man, I'm over here struggling. But y'all don't see it that way. That's cool. Y'all don't see it that way.
Nah, dude. Nah, never, man.
All right, look, this has been Schoolboy Q. Tell the people the name of the album again.
Crash Talk, man. Crash Talk is coming out, man. It's coming out Friday, baby. We're going to get to it.
Hey, man. Happy for you, man.
Thank
Make
you,
it
man.
Roll, man.
I appreciate
man.
You, man.
And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thanks to Schoolboy Q. Be sure to check out the Mediacom show. It's draft week. And before heading to Nashville, Mina and Lenny, the star of the new ESPN commercial, chat with my buddy Dominique Foxworth about the needs and possible strategies of the teams in the top six, Cardinals, 49ers, Jets, Raiders, Bucks, and Giants. Remember, subscribe to the Right Time Podcast. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.